This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There is no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Matt Spiegel.
Wow, really? Like even Pedro Martinez?
Nah,
you love talking.
Nobody.
To
nobody.
Rich Hill?
Okay. All right. No. You're missing the obvious, the guy who owns the LLC this whole thing. Would I rather be talking to the guy who pays my bills? At least in as far as everyone knows, Joe Kelly.
Right.
No, there's nobody on the planet I'd rather be talking right now than Matt Spiegel, the Spiegel and Home Show on 670 The Score in Chicago. No Super Bowl, huh? No Super Bowl.
No Super Bowl. The Bears aren't in it. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, but you know how it used to be back in the day. Everybody went through it. Like the thing is, I was talking to people. Radio Row is sort of a wasteland, and if it isn't a wasteland, it's only because it's podcast there.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not. But I have glorious memories of the gravy train that was Radio Row. Like when I was at Sporting News Radio, they sent me there. I was doing evenings and I was the only guy broadcasting live at night on Radio Row. Like, and there was nobody there. None of the guests were walking around. I literally interviewed the woman who was vacuuming the floors.
Where was that? Where? What?
Phoenix. Phoenix. But I had a great time that week. It was great to be there, but like, whew, I was recording stuff during the day, but you know, but here we are, man. It's almost baseball season.
Well, that's the thing. When Radio Row rolls around, you know, it's almost baseball season. And you know, a subtle thing too is that if baseball players wanted to get their brand out heading into spring training, Radio Row is a great place to do it. We did it, Matt, 2 years ago when the book was coming out. Joe went around Radio Row.
Amazing.
Because people, you're exhausted by the football stuff. Like, just give us some baseball.
How about if Alex Bregman was on Radio Row this week?
Oh.
Just going and talking to the Houston radio stations and going and talking. I don't know if your station is there, Rob. No, of course not. But no offense.
It's in my same radio family. We're all in the same boat.
But imagine if Bregman was out there trying to control the narrative. He could say,
oh, like hawking paper towels or something. Like this, let's go. Which, all right. So let's get to the brass tacks.
Yes, sir.
The Cubs have been like really an interesting team when it comes to this offseason. We did a podcast earlier this offseason about the Seattle Mariners, and I thought, okay, the Seattle Mariners might be a really, really interesting, I guess everything sort of goes off the Seattle Mariners. That didn't happen because they had all the pitchers, right? And they just held on to all the pitchers. It didn't make a difference. But the Cubs almost sneakily have become one of the more interesting offseason teams in a lot of way. Do you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that statement. I think it's well phrased because it didn't look like it was going that way. But then when they got rid of Bellinger, the messaging was clear. We have money to spend. We are going to be active. And then they've done some things that are a little bit aggressive. I mean, they were in on Sasaki and didn't get Sasaki. But the Kyle Tucker trade is super duper aggressive. I mean, they gave up some pieces that they got from other trades, like Hayden Wisniewski, who was born of the Scott Efros trade, right? Isak Paredes, who was born of the Christopher Morel trade. Those are good trade trees to turn into Kyle Tucker. But they also gave up Cam Smith, last year's number one pick. That's a big deal for,
yeah,
the Cubs, for the Cubs to admit and announce we're willing to give up like a dude they love that most
of baseball, by the way, had the, out of all the guys drafted last year, had the best introduction to professional baseball of any player, I think. Right?
You think so?
Like one of them. So he's a really good player. So anyway, continue. I apologize.
Yeah, but no, you're good. But so like the aggression was clear. And are they going to sign Kyle Tucker to a long term? I don't know. Probably not. But we'll see how the year goes. But they've basically announced going forward in a division that's gettable. I mean, like Pakoda and Zips and this other stuff is all going to have them to win the division. But remember that Craig Counsell last year in the last week of the season said, we should be in the business of building a 90-win team around here. Mm. Craig Counsell said that. That's the new guy with four more years on his deal as opposed to Jed Hoyer with 1 year on his deal. And remember, they touted Counsell as a straight-up partner in terms of what they're doing. So it's not just a manager talking out of his butt. Mm-hmm. Here. So there is some aggression all off season, and it hasn't really manifested till the Tucker deal. And now here they are actively rumored. And I can tell you, and you know this as well, legitimately in the conversations for Alex Bregman, Dylan Cease trade, the Jack Flaherty. They were in that conversation to add one more pitcher at the front of the rotation, all the closers. And they end up making the deal for Ryan Presley with the Astros, which is a guy. So now they're going to have a closer from day one. If he's their closer in September, I don't know, but they got a closer from day one. Albert Alzolay blew five saves in the first 6 weeks last year. You know, if that doesn't happen, they might have won that division or been in a very different place as we went along. So yeah, they're aggressive, and they could subtract a salary piece too if they need to add two salary pieces. So it's a, there's a lot of intrigue around them right now for sure.
Well, even like the smaller thing, you're the team that trades for Ryan Brazier, right? I mean, it's a small thing, but he's a useful guy and other teams could trade for him. And like you said, you're building up the bullpen. You don't want to allocate resources to Kyle Tucker and then all of a sudden say, wait, we have a crappy bullpen.
Yeah.
And the Cease thing's an interesting, but the most interesting as we sit here right now is Bregman. So what's your perception? Well, first of all, were you surprised when you heard the Cubs linked to Bregman? When that was? Because I know that for me, obviously the Red Sox and Tigers were in on Bregman. And immediately when the Red Sox lost out on Soto, it was Bregman, 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 Bregman. And even then, Matt, I was sort of like, I didn't really think about Bregman. He was down year, switching positions. I don't know. And then you really, really dig in on it. Like, okay, I can get my head around that. And they were in on him. Then you hear the Tigers really wanted him. I don't know if he ever wanted to go there, but really wanted him. And then I feel like it was later where the Cubs sort of surfaced with the Bregman stuff. So when did you first remember hearing about that? And what was your thoughts when you did start hearing about it?
Well, third base has been an issue since Bryant started to decay, since Chris Bryant started to decay and then left. And before that, third base has been an issue since Ron Santo. So it gets talked about a lot in this town. When they traded for Isak Paredes, and he didn't have a great run here, but it was like, all right, this dude is the guy. So it wasn't really until Paredes left in the Kyle Tucker trade that we started even thinking about that. But the Cubs have a kid named Matt Shaw, who as of right now is going to be handed that third base job at the beginning of spring as his to lose. That's where it stands right now. But that's assuming that Nico Hoerner is healthy and they keep him at second base. Shaw can also play second base, you know? And since then, of course, we've heard Bregman say if he was going to go back to Houston, maybe he'd play first or maybe he'd play some second and Altuve would go to the outfield, like all this crazy stuff that we've heard. So it becomes a little more flexible, but not till Paredes left. But even then, it wasn't till it seemed like the Bregman long-term deals weren't out there. I figured somebody was going to give him. I mean, he's on a Hall of Fame track. I know the last 3 years have been in some decline. The OPS plus has gone down every year. This past year, he had a really slow start and was banged up.
He had the bone chips in his.
Yeah, the Butch Hobson bone chips.
Oh man, you're scratching right where I itch. Like, the only difference was that he didn't have to pump five times before he threw it the first.
But Zimmer kept putting him out there, man.
Hey, Matt, as a quick aside, this is, you know, when you're growing up and you're emulating guys, I actually emulated walking around like Butch Hobson with my arm crooked because of the bone chips, pumping like five times. So I knew that we are simpatico because every time I hear bone chips, Butch Hobson's the first name that I think.
Forever,
thank
man.
You. Thank you for that.
Especially for a third baseman. Butch, by the way, was the manager of the Chicago Dogs independent league team out here. Carlos Zambrano playing for him. I talked to Butch about the bone chips and about playing for Bear Bryant at Alabama. But anyway, I don't think the Cubs would be in at all on Bregman for a 5-year deal or a 6-year deal or maybe even a 4-year deal. And even a 3 would be a stretch, frankly. But they could maybe do a 2-1. But last year we saw Bellinger have to concede and come back to the Cubs with that weird joint press conference in Mesa when Scott Boras and Jed Hoyer were up there together announcing more of a partnership than anything. And you also saw Matt Chapman, who a lot of Cub fans wanted, end up in San Francisco on a 1-year deal, but then he signs the extension during the year because he had a good year. So maybe the Bregman market was coming back to the Cubs. And frankly, I still think it is. I still think it is because from talking to people and kind of digging around, I don't know that there's 5- and 6-year deals out there for him. I know he wants it, but I don't know that they're out there, Rob. Are they?
No, I mean, I still think that the outlier might be Toronto, but I don't know. Alex Bregman has a caveat. Alex Bregman has not told me this. I don't know if he wants to play in Toronto. I don't know if he really wants to play in Detroit. And those are the most logical places. Well, especially Toronto giving a longer term deal. But what I hear everything else, it's along the lines of what you're talking about. High AAV, shorter terms. Bob Nightingale, as we're taped this, just tweeted out saying he's digging on a 6- or 7-year deal. Good luck, Alex Bregman. And which leads us to the Houston offer. Matt, this is the most baffling part of this, which is when Houston makes the moves for Christian Walker and Paredes, they literally on the record say, we're done. See you, Alex. Nice knowing you. Then a couple weeks ago, oh, by the way, the offer's still on the table. Here's an image of Jose Altuve working out in left field. He'll do anything to get Alex Bregman back. And the offer, the original offer that we know of was 6 years. Okay. Place what you want. He wants to play, clearly. It's a 6-year deal. And I don't think the AAV was terrible. So what happened? Because I don't know if you felt this way, Matt, but when that was out there, I'm like, he's back to Houston. You missed your, hey, whoever was interested, you missed your window. He's back to Houston.
Well,
there's something amiss here.
Yeah, I all of that is true, and I'd extend it even to the Ryan Pressly trade conversation.
Yes.
Which had this component of they're trying to get rid of Presley's money so they can re-sign Bregman, which may have been bunk. So look, there's also this component. Every move the Cubs make, even the little Ryan Brazier one, like you said, like, well, how much of that 4.5 mil did they have to pick up? How much did the Dodgers pick up in exchange for the player to be named later that they get? And if they're doing that and they're able to save some money, maybe that means they can have room for Bregman. That's an insane conversation when you think about it, as was the Pressly one. Oh, maybe there's room for our $150 million guy now that we saved 2 from 4.5. But it's based on the competitive balance tax, and it's based on the perception of budgets for teams that are not in the stratospheric Mets place, Dodgers place. I want to say Yankees place, but a Steinbrenner just bitched about the Mets. So what are we talking about? Or bitched about the Dodgers, I should say. So what are we talking about? There's like three teams at the top of the market, right, that exist right now. Like, you got teams like the Cubs and the Astros being able to say, well, we can't quite play in that playing field. And it's actually kind of logical. So it leads to some weird conversations that go on, but I sense where you're going. And I gotta wonder if either the Astros themselves or some people in Houston are helping Alex Bregman have the appearance of the Astros being in, so he can get these purported deals that he actually wants, that Bob Nightingale has now doubled down. You know how people play these leaks? I call them leak receptacles of choice. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's got to feed the leak receptacle for them to then put it out there. And who is it helping when they do?
Well, and I'm with you. We can't prove it. And maybe he re-signs with Houston, and maybe all of this is moot. But at the same time, I've seen this happen before, where teams, an iconic player or a popular player is on the market. They feel like he's not getting his deal, especially when you have a very popular guy amongst teammates like Jose Altuve. And all right, we'll put it back out there that we're interested. I've seen it happen before, man. Like, I've seen it happen before. But the reason why we can even introduce that as an option is because now you have Dana Brown out there saying Alex Bregman past tense Bregman now. I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago where it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So I do not rule that out. Might be wrong, but we have to, and everything's so bizarre when it comes to Houston and Bregman right now, we have to entertain anything like that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's really weird. I don't know about Boston, but there is a subtext in Chicago of the looming next collective bargaining agreement after 25 and 26. And I've been thinking a lot about it, in part because Faye Vincent passed away this week. And what the owners have always wanted is to break the union and make a salary cap happen. That's why Faye Vincent got pushed aside back in 92. And in 94, they tried to break the union and missed a World Series, but it didn't work to get the cap. Now you got the CBT, which is basically a soft cap, but without a salary floor, then you'll never be what the owners dream of it being, which is more like the NBA or the NFL or anything like that. So it's incredibly boring, dry stuff to get into, but it does loom over all of the free agent expenditures. Can you imagine, Rob, if we had a cap and a floor? MLB's offseason might work like the other off seasons, where free agency opens and people sign. Like, can you imagine what life would be like, what the hot stove would be like if free agency opened and everybody signed over the next couple of days? And then other deals trickled in, and we got to spring training, and all we were doing was looking at preview magazines that could actually be printed with like a normal time.
The big winners are the preview magazines, which the old school.
Smith Brothers or Smith and Street, whatever
those. Smith, yeah,
it was, Street and Smith.
Yeah, Street and Smith.
Street and Smith would rejoice.
Those poor guys. Like they had to go to publication in November.
So, they got no shot.
I remember, you know, when you're a kid, you buy up anything, and I'm like, what? Like, What?
Oh yeah, or the Baseball Digest. You know, it's like, those things are useless, you know?
No, but in all honesty, they were kind of useless even then, and now it's not even a question. Well, let me ask you this about the Cubs. So they, as you documented perfectly, they're very aggressive. They're aggressive. They're going to be the favorites in the division, but you have the tier now. You have the Dodgers in tier one. You have the Phillies, Braves, let's say Mets now, you know, in tier two. Do the Cubs belong in tier two?
I would put the Braves down at the top of tier two. Okay. And because if you really think about, you know, where they are in relation to the tax, they've been super aggressive and smart signing those extensions. What would be interesting is if some of those guys start to crap the bed if they throw more good money after it,
you know,
with some of that turning into bad money on the books. And I suspect that they won't, frankly. So that's why I've got them at the top of tier two. And I think, the Cubs are in tier two. The Cubs are towards the top of tier two. And they're trying to spend on a manager to make a difference, and they're trying to spend on development as they always have and use that to make a difference. But their TV deal was way too damn late, man. And it's just, they don't have any real income from their TV deal. I'd put them in that second tier, which is a good place to be, but it's frustrating. Because there was a World Series championship in 2016, and then you can question the overall aggression to go for another World Series championship, because they're not getting out of their comfort zone. A lot of phrases like comfort zone
The comfort zone, man, it's one of the biggest problems with front offices. It is having to win a trade or a deal by 70-80% instead of 51%. Huh. You know, that drives me nuts. Anyway, that's my.
It's interesting.
Rant. Yeah.
No. It's a good rant because I mean, are the Red Sox in a similar tier? Would you?
Yeah. Well. Oh no. Well, I mean, the American League isn't nearly as good as the National League. The Yankees have to be the favorite, but that's one of the problems is that you have this opportunity, and I think the Tigers are sort of trying to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Where there's a window, they had a window last year. The Yankees were a very flawed team, but. You're still pounding the drum on the worst word of all time, sustainability. I'm sorry, it's cringy, and I do think that this sort of the front office is the uncomfortable thing. They come in and say we're willing to get uncomfortable, but are you willing to get uncomfortable? And uncomfortable is not setting a price point going into free agency, and maybe Bregman's a perfect example of this. Not setting price point, and if you really want the player coming off that price point, it's the Dombrowski model, right? Dombrowski just like, if I want the player, I'm getting the player. That's how it is.
Right. But that Dombrowski has chased willing owners his whole life, which is ingenious.
Exactly. And owners don't want to do it. Owners want the different model. And, you know, it's frustrating if you get, and then you win doing it and everyone says, oh, look at what Tampa's doing. Look at how many games they won. Well, okay, that's fine, but will it work in your world?
Yeah, no.
I think the biggest thing is that one of the things that you saw with the teams that won last year, Matt, is that you need the foundational players. Like we can talk about spreading stuff around, but it really, really helps to have the foundational players because how important was it having to get through the top of those two orders, batting orders, the Yankees and the Dodgers?
Oh, right? Without a doubt. And how about, you know, you got Soto and Judge, but it's Stanton who reminds you that he's that dude getting paid what he's getting paid. And they had to suffer through some bad and broken down years for Stanton to get the payoff of him in the postseason, last year. No, it's absolutely true. And the thing is that here's what I don't know if people understand. Most of the baseball people involved agree. and get it. Like talking to Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell this year at the Cubs convention in person about the fact that now they have Kyle Tucker. I mean, I'm able to ask Craig Counsell, so how does it feel? How did it feel to have Yelich every day in your lineup in Milwaukee in his prime, and now you get to write in Kyle Tucker? What does that do for a manager? And you can see it on his face as he gives you the real answer. Oh, boy, it's awfully nice. You know, it's like, and Jed Hoyer knows it too. It's ownership level.
You know what it is? It's the devaluing of winning a World Series. And who didn't devalue winning a World Series are the Dodgers, you know, are some of these ownership groups that understand that winning a World Series is awesome, is really, really good for business, and winning a World Series is more important, should be more important than sustainability. Like, I know that it's a very simplistic way to look at it, but I do think that a lot of owners aren't understanding that the power of winning a World Series. And if anyone has any questions, go ask the Los Angeles Dodgers about it right now.
Well, you tell me, is that power, perspective based? Is it tangible? Is it a line item? When you say that, is it the aura? Is it happy fans? 'Cause it better be a line item.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. I think for business, it's great. Like, business is great. I think that maybe, I haven't dug in on this, but I think, and a lot of this has to do with TV contracts, I get, but go ask the Texas Rangers, the most sort of innocuous World Series winner in recent memory.
Yeah.
I bet that they, because they won a World Series business-wise, they are in much better place going forward than they were if they didn't go for it. If they didn't.
Yeah, see.
So I think it does come back to business. Like, here's the thing with Bregman, for instance.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I'll speak for, like, a team like the Red Sox, he checks off a ton of boxes, but one of the biggest boxes that he would check off is pushing away apathy, pushing away a narrative. You sign this guy, you allocate a little bit more years or money, whatever it is, that one guy pushes away what has been drifting over you for the last couple of years, which is apathy and this like, oh, we don't spend, the perception. Like, that's you eliminate that. Garrett Crochet trade put a dent in it. This is completely different. And that's what I don't think they understand. Yes, you want the prospects to come up, but you also, if you, for business, you want little kids wearing Bregman shirts, because right now, Von Grissom shirts, with all due respect, aren't going to sell as well. You know, so. Yeah. So anyway, again, there's my rant.
Listen,
I know you got to get going. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate your excellent in everything you do. So just keep up the good work, man.
Hey man, thank you. I appreciate you and all the work you do. And I appreciate you mentioning Spiegel and Holmes and Sunday mornings in baseball season in Chicago, Hit and Run every Sunday morning.
Oh, nice. I love it.
We're back. It. So.
And by the way, I saw our company, our fair company, just welcomed in the new podcast. It's The Compound.
Oh, yeah. Ian Happ.
Ian Happ.
It's Ian Happ's podcast. He does an absolutely great job on that. And it's really cool. He did one live from the Cubs convention, had Sammy Sosa on. It's good stuff. So we got another.
But more importantly, Spiegel and Holmes, Hit and Run, all those. Thank you. Those are the best. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, Rob.